Okay, so the Dafyomi this week is sponsored by Aziz Basalili on the occasion of the yahrzeit of his grandfather, Shlomo ben Elisha, zichrono livracha. Right, so we're on Daf Yud Gimel and Aleph, a few lines from the top. So if you recall, we've been discussing if the Mishnah said Nechasim Shein Behem'ilah. The Mishnah said that if my shore gores nechasim she'ein bahem me'ilah, so then, yeah, one second, let me get back to the Mishnah. One second. Yeah, the Mishnah said, yeah, so then I'm nechasim when nechasim before that, right? He says nechasim she'ein bahem me'ilah. So if it's nechasim she'ein bahem me'ilah, then I'm chayev. And we said yesterday we went through the shita with Rabbi Yossi Glili, that it could be that I'm not chayiv on Me'ilo, but it's not, but it's in other words, it could be like a Korban Shlamim, which is in Mamon Baalim. Okay, so now 4 lines from the top. So Gufa, so we learned earlier in the Gemara, says Umaalamal Bahashem. This is a piece we quoted a part of this Braisa yesterday, but now the Gemara quotes the whole Braisa. Gufa Umaalamal Bahashem Kachim Kalam Shemono de Rabbi Yossi Glili. So, the pasuk says nefesh ki techata, and then it says, and then it's b'chesh b'mitah b'kikadonim. So with God, he says umalam nefesh ki umalam baal b'Hashem. So if a person sins, umalam baal b'Hashem, he does like treachery against Hashem. And what is the treachery? B'chesh b'mitah b'kikadonim b'sumiyada b'gazel. Let's say he's a shomer and he lies under oath. I never got this item or something like that. So then, and then he admits that he lied. So then he owes a keren chomesh and an asham. So, but it sounds like it has to belong to the person. So the Gemara has the pasuk b'Hashem. So he says that according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, that's coming to include kachin kalim. So if Reuven has a lamb that he designated as a korban shlamim, or we'll see in a minute, kachin kalim. So then that's also the person is also chayav keren chomesh and a korban asham. All right, he says. Ben Azai Omer, the Rabbot HaShlamim. So Ben Azai explains the way he understands the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says the Rabbot Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kalim is a general term that could be a lot of different korbanot. But in those cases, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili says Kachim Kalim, you're chayiv in a case like this, because that's Malon Baalim. So Ben Azai says the Rabbot HaShlamim. So the way Rashi understands it, Ben Azai is explaining what Rabbi Yossi Glili means. And then there's Ben Azai says, Rabbi Yossi Glili is talking about a Korban Shlamim. And we'll explain more in the Gemara. Abbi Yossi ben Dostai Omer, Omar ben Azai, a little bit before Bilvad. Abbi Yossi ben Dostai says, no, that means what's the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi Glili? Rabbi Yossi Glili just meant a Bechor. And there was Bechor is also Kachim Kalim, and Shlam is also Kachim Kalim. So each one is saying that the question is, what did Ben Azai say? So according to the first opinion, Ben Azai says that Rabbi Yossi Glili meant a korban shlamim, and according to the second opinion, no, Ben Azai said that it's a bechor. The bechor is the one that's mamon baalim. Okay. All right. Let me just get started. Okay. Let's all focus. So, really, it's going to come out to be one opinion. In other words, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that Kachin Kalim are Mamon Baalim. Mamon Baalim. So by Nezikin, if my shore gores your thing, so that we said in the Mishnah, I'd be chayiv. That's like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now the Braisa is talking about a related halacha where Rabbi Yossi Aglili's opinion comes from. The Braisa is talking about, this is just one example. Let's have a shomer, and the shomer lies under oath. In other words, you gave me a lamb to take care of. And the shomer says, "No, you never gave it. I don't know anything about this lamb." And then he says, "No, I lied through my teeth." And then so he's obligated to pay a keren and a chomesh and a korban hasham. So Rabbi Yossi Hagli, this is Rabbi Yossi Hagli learns that that din also includes kachin kalim. So then Azai says that what Rabbi Yossi Hagli, when he says kachin kalim, he meant the Korban Shlamim is what he meant, which is one example of Kachim Kalim. And then the third opinion is Abba Dostai said, no, what Rabbi Yosef, what Ben Azai said is it's Bechor. That's also Kachan Tala. Okay, so let's go back in the Gemara now. So he says here, so Amar Mar, Ben Azai made the Rabbot Ashlamim. So Ben Azai said that what Rabbi Yosef Lee meant is that a Korban Shlamim is included in this din that we just said. So if a Korban Shlamim is included, something else is excluded. In other words, he's saying that Rabbi Yossi did not say all the Kachim Kalim. He said a Korban Shlamim. So what does he say not included? Maybe he meant to say that Korban Shlamim we view as Mamon Balim. And so Mela, then the din with the Shomer and the Shavua applies. He says, but maybe he's just saying, but not a Bechor, not a Bechor. Please silence yourself. He says, let me help you out. 1 second. Okay. All right. So he says, so maybe a Bechor, which is an example of Kachim Kalim, is not viewed as Mamon Baalim. So the Gemara says, that makes sense. Hashtu ma shlamim shtun smichu nesachim and trufat chazei v'shok, amri mamon baalim hu. So Korban Shlamim, there are a lot of mitzvahs, like a lot of ritual. You have Nesachim that's connected with it, you know, the wine libation, Trufah Chazei V'Shok, the waving of the different parts of the breast and the right foreleg. He says, and you said that's Mamon Baalim, Bechor Mabayah. Bechor doesn't have those things, so certainly it should be viewed as Mamon Baalim. In other words, like that's more Kedusha if it has all those things. So Bechor certainly should be included. And then when we let's look at the Rashi on the 20th narrow line, Bechor Mibaya, with Bechor Bechus La'aretz Kamar. So Rashi says we're talking about a Bechor outside of Eretz Yisrael, which we discussed last night. The came in Lav Lahakrava Koi, since it's not Omid Lahakrava, means a person could bring it to the base of Mekdesh as a Korban, but he doesn't have to. He could wait till it gets a Mum. He says, green light. Lo Zachule Mishulchan Gavoa, Lo Chazi Lagavoa. So it's not considered that it's coming from the Shulchan Gavoa. So certainly, so if I say that Korban Shlamim is Mamon Baalim, certainly Bechor should be Mamon Baalim. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so rather Rabbi Yochanan says, remember this line, this will be like the key line, Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan, L'miyutei Maaser, in other words, to exclude Maaser. In other words, Maaser is not viewed as Mamon Baalim, according to Ben Azai's version of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Kidatanya, like we learn in the Braisa, B'vechor Nemar Lo Tifteh. By the Bechor, it says in the Torah, you can't redeem the Bechor. He says, so I think Rashi goes through it. Yeah. So he says, wait a minute. The Nimkar Tam Chai, but it could be sold if it's unblemished while it's alive. Ubal Mum Chai B'Shachut. If it's Baal Mum, I could sell it if it's alive or if it's been shechted. But the Dinim of the Bechor, let's look at Rashi on the Bechor, B'Bechor. Tam ne'amar ach b'chor shor b'chor tam ne'amar ach b'chor shor b'gomer lo tifte pidyon hu delay puk mikdushet b'chor. In other words, I can't be po to the b'chor that the animal now has no kedusha, meaning limkor be'idli is to sell it in the meat market lishkol belitra or to weigh on scales. Aval nimkar hu chai, it could be sold if it's alive. Lo kechu klena b'kedusha tok shiumam, and then the purchaser will eat it when it gets a mum. Or offers a korban, meaning that the bechor has certain kedusha, but nevertheless it could be sold. Back in the Gemara, by maaser ne'amar lo yigael. By maaser, talking about maaser behema is a different term the Torah uses. It doesn't say lo tifteh, it says lo yigael. It can't be redeemed. Now lo yigael, so Chazal teach us gzeir shava, says lo yigael by the maaser. And then Rashi points it out, the Gemara Masechet Bechorot says, Lo Yigael by Charamim. It says, like, Kol Cheir Mashiach Charam, if a person gives karka, you know, to the Kohanim, so Lo Yigael, you know, it can't be redeemed anymore. I can't get it back. In other words, I gave it to the Kohanim, it's them, and it can't be sold either. So he says, so we're going to learn the Maaser, we're going to learn Gzeir Shava, Lo Yigael from the Charam of a Kohen. The Maaser Neman Lo Yigael, the Eino Nimkar, Lo Chai, Lo Shachut. So the din by Maaser, it can't be sold at all. There was the Chor, even though it has Kedusha, can't be redeemed, but it could be sold. But he says, but the Maaser can't be sold. Not the Chai, Lo Shachut, Lo Tam, Lo Balmum. So So Rabbi Yochanan rather is saying that it makes sense that if Ben Azai was saying Rabbonu Shlamim, so he's saying that Shlamim is Kachim Kalim, that Rabbi Yossi abuses Mamon Baalim. And in Achinami, then even the Bechor also, he would view it that way. But the Maaser Behema, he would not view that way. Even though Maaser Behema is Kachim Kalim, he doesn't view it as Mamon Baalim because it's on such a level of Kedusha, we think that it can't be sold. That's what we think. Now, let me just do a few more lines, then we'll pause, take questions, comments, or thoughts. Ravina Matni Law Seifa. Ravina learned Rabbi Yochanan's statement about the Maaser Behema, he learned it concerning the Seifa of the Brisa. Abba Yossi ben Dose Omer, lo Amar ben Azai, el b'chor bilvad, that Abba Yossi ben Dose's version of Rabbi Yossi Glili, or ben Azai, is that Rabbi Yossi Glili only said by b'chor. He only said that the b'chor, in this version, the b'chor is the one that's viewed as Mamon Baalim. He's using the b'chor the other way around. It was the opposite of what we said before. He's using the b'chor as Mamon Baalim. So lemiute mai, what is he coming to exclude that's not Mamon Baalim? Ilema lemiute shlamim, if you say, well, maybe he's something to say that a korban shlamim is not viewed as Mamon Baalim. Hashta, uma b'chor shekadosh mirechem, mamonohu, if we view b'chor, which has kedusha from the womb, and it was at birth, it has kedusha even before I say anything, and we say that's Mamon Baalim, shlamim mibayis. So shlamim that the person's makdish, that certainly is Mamon Baalim. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and here's the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which he's saying he's learning on the Seifa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan lemiyutei maser. So in this version, so Rabbi Yochanan says that the Bechor we're going to view as Mamon Baalim, but not the maser. The maser won't be Mamon Baalim. Okay, that's the same statement. Okay, Kidatanya, like we learn in the Brisa, the same as before. The Bechor ne'amar lo tifteh. The Bechor says you can't redeem it. But nevertheless, v'nimkar tam chai, it can be sold when it's unblemished, when it's alive. U'ba'al mom chai b'shachud, if it's ba'al mom, it's alive or shechted. The maaser ne'amar lo yiga'el, by the maaser says it can't be redeemed, v'nimkar lo chai b'lo shechud, lo tam lo ba'al mom. So the maaser, we think, is on a higher level of kedusha. So we're not going to, so we're going to be, we think we're going to view the bechor, as in this version, the bechor will be mamon ba'alim, but the maaser not. Right? He says, now, he says, so again, Rabbi Yochanan says that Abba Yose, that according to what's the version of Abba Yose ben Dustai, right? Let me get the thing. Yeah. Abba Yose ben Dustai, so lo Amar ben Azai the Bechor Bavad, that the Bechor we consider to be Mamon Baalim. But the only thing that's going to be excluded is the Maaser. The only thing we're excluding is the Maaser. The Maaser not. Okay, so but he says, so back in the Gemara, he says, Habib Khorbilvan ka Amar. But Abba Yosef ben Dostai says that Rabbi Yosef, that Ben Azai said only the Bechor. In other words, in this version, in the second version, he's saying that it's coming to be Mamayit one thing, and it's coming to exclude one thing. That's the Maaser. And everything else, Lechora, would be included in the Kachim Kalim, right? Except for the Maaser. You with me or not? You are? Okay, yeah. So everything else would be included. But the Gemara says, but the Tana of the Brisa says, Bechor Bilvad, only the Bechor. That according to this version, Ben Azai said, explaining Rabbi Yossi Glili, only the Bechor is viewed as Mamon Baalim. And the way you're saying, so it's not fitting out, not making sense. In other words, you're saying the only thing he's excluding is Maaser, which would mean that everything else is included in Mamon Baalim. But the language says that he only said, but only the Bechor is the only thing that's Mamon Baalim. So the Gemara says, Kasha, that's a difficulty in that pshat. In other words, if I say Rabbi Yochanan's statement goes on this statement, it doesn't work out so well. So Rabbi Levis was saying,
Yes.
yeah, right.
Kasha is always this.
Right. That when
Yes.
when a, right. So when it says kasha, it means it's difficulty, but we could come up with an answer. He was quoting it from the Otar HaGaonim. He was saying it from today, but that's it. Oh, all right. I mean, I've heard it before also, but I didn't know from where. All right. Everybody good? Okay. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right. Well, the Gemara leaves it as a kasha, so I don't know what to say. All right. So with the first version we have, it worked out well. All right. Now, all right. So again, so we're working off the Mishnah that we did on Daf Tedam Beis. So the Mishnah said that I'm chayiv in nezikin if my shore damages nechasim she'in behem me'ilah. If it's nechasim that aren't subject to me'ilah, then my shore is chayiv. And we said, well, what is nechasim she'in behem me'ilah? It means that it could even be kachim, but there's no me'ilah. We said by kachim kalim, me'ilah only clicks in after zrikas dam, and then only for the emurim. So that could even be that. So the Gemara says, Rava amar, my nechasim she'in behem me'ilah. Rava says, what does the Mishnah say mean when it says that if my shore damages nechasim shem me'ila, nechasim shem behem din me'ila, in other words, nechasim that don't have any din me'ila, in other words, like no connection to me'ila, u'mayninu dehedyot. It means like another civilian owns an animal, some chayiv, if my shore, you know, gores, you know, another person's shore. Right. But litni dehedyot. So why doesn't the Tana say, what are we teaching like riddles? You should teach me a hedyot. So Kasha, that's difficult. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments? He right. That shot would cut through it. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right. Now, up until now, we've been talking about our shore goring a shore of Hekdesh. Now we're going to flip it over, the shore of Hekdesh goring one of our shvarim. So, Amar Biyaba, Shlamim Sheziku, let's say there's a korban shlamim, an animal that is it as a korban shlamim, and it injures another animal. And it could be a lamb, it doesn't have to be a shore or whatever. So the shlamim could be a par, you know, something like that. So he says, shlamim could be bakar baton, right? So it could even be a bakar, I think, a par. So he says, shlamim sheziku, govim ibisarim in a govim emu rehen. So it means like this. Let's say the animal that's the shlamim was a tam. So the injured party is entitled to chatzi nezek, but the chatzi nezek is limited to the value of the goring animal. What is the value of the goring animal? Now the korban shlamim has two parts to it. It has the meat that's going to be eaten, and it has the emurim that are going to be burnt on the mizbeach. So he's saying, let's say the animal, let's say there's a shore tam, which is the korban shlamim, and a gore is another shore. So let's say each shore is worth 200 zuz. In other words, the goring shore is worth 200 zuz, and the other one's worth 200 zuz. And let's say the goring shore, the emurim are worth 50 zuz, and the basar is worth 150 zuz. So if it kills the other animal is worth 200 zuz, so the victim is entitled to recoup 100 zuz. But if it's a short tam, you can only recoup half. In other words, 100 zuz is the half. But he's only, in other words, with the korban shlamim, he's capped off at the value of the shore. So 100 zuz, but we're going to view it as if we'll view it as if like two shvarim bored him. One, a chulin animal, one the basar animal, one the emurim. So the emurim are out of the equation. So the 150 gored him, but he's only entitled to collect half of the value. He can't exceed half the value of the shore that gored him. So his recovery will be limited to 75 zuz. So it was, even though he suffered 100 zuz in damages. No. In other words, the shore that was killed was worth 200. So his measure of damages is 100.
Right,
it's 100. But the shore that gored him, so to speak, is worth 150 zuz. Right. 200 zuz is really worth 150 zuz. So his recovery is capped off at 75 zuz. So that's what he's saying. But let's see Rashi on that, okay?
Based on the half of 150.
That's what we're doing. Okay, now, one second. Okay. Yeah, so look at Lo Tzricha around 10 lines to the bottom in Rashi. Lo Tzricha, Hadakatani So he's only able to recoup up to right. Even though, in other words, even though it's not going to equal 100 zuz, and then from the 50 emurim, he can't. In other words, we'll see in a minute. I jumped the gun a little bit. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says again. So 20 lines to the bottom. I'm Rabbi Abba Shlamim Shizihu Gobe Mibsaran Vena Gobe Meimurehen. So the injured party is able to recoup only from the Basar part of the Mazik Shor, not from the Emurim. So Pshita, that's obviously the Gemara says, Emurim Legaboa Salki, the Emurim are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach off out of the equation. Lo Tzricha Legobe Mibsaran Keneged Emurim. So I would have thought that I could, in other words, let's say the shor was a regular shor, so I'd be entitled to 100 zuz. So now you're telling me I have to look at each one independently. I'm going to look at the basar, even though there's 150 zuz a basar, so I'm going to say 50% of that. But maybe I should say, but I should be entitled to another, you know, another 25 zuz from the basar corresponding to the emurim. I can't touch the emurim. In other words, the emurim are 50 zuz. So if it wasn't that way, I'd get 20 half of the emurim, they have the value of the emurim, but I'm not doing that. So I would have thought, well, I'll make it up. In other words, emurim, I'll make up with the meat, and I'll get back 100 zuz, and it will be from the meat. I would have thought that way. So kamash v'la not this way. Okay? Okay. So again, so we're saying that when I have a shor that's a korban shlamim, I view it like two shvarim. One shor is just basar, and in my example, or it's Rashi's example, Arthur's example, there's 150 zuz of basar that's goring, and another shor that's 50 zuz of emurim. So the emurim are off the table, off the, and the cheshbon is just the basar. Okay. So now let's see what the Gemara says. So now 10 lines from the bottom. Now there's another machloket the Gemara has on daf nun gimel. Let's look at nun gimel quickly. Nun gimel min aleph. So if you look on Nun Gimel Min Aleph, around 10 lines above where it gets wide, everybody have it, there's a braisa on Nun Gimel 53a. Here's a Gemara, okay? So Nun Gimel, 53a, Nun Gimel, Daniel, Nun Gimel, okay. So Titania, Shor Shlachapet Chaveru Labor, if a Shor, you know, Shor that belonged to Reuven, he pushed Shimon's Shor into a pit. He says, and then the animal died. So Reuven's shor, you know, pushed, let's say, Shimon's shor, or let's say Levi's shor, he pushed Levi's shor into the pit, and then Shimon is the owner of the boar. So in other words, there's two tortfeasers. There's Reuven who owns the shor, and then Shimon owns the pit. And between both of them, you know, Levi's shor got killed. So who has to pay? It's like, in law, it's like joint and several tortfeasers. So he says here, back in the Gemara, "Tani shur shadachav and chaver labor, bala shur chayav, bala bor patur." So the Chachamim hold that only the first one is chayav. He set everything in motion, and the bala bor is not at all chayav. So it says, "Rabbi Natan Omer, bala shur mishalim mechza, u'bala bor mishalim mechza." Rabbi Natan says, "No, we're going to apportion it. It's going to be 50-50." Now, the way this is going to work, So if it's a shor muad, it was a shor muad that gored. So according to the chachamim, so the shor, the bala shor owns 100%, and the bala bor owns nothing. And according to Rabbi Natan, then the shor will owe 50%, and the bala bor will owe 50% if it's a shor muad. If it's a shor tam, so, and there's in our Gemara, the Mepharshim say there's like a mistake in Rashi, it's hard to understand, but if it's a shor tam, so then according to the Chachamim, the owner of the shor is going to pay one quarter of the damages, one quarter. If it's a shor tam, according to Chachamim, he's going to pay one half. But if according to Rabbi Natan, he's going to pay the Baal HaShor is going to pay 1/4, and the Baal HaBor will pay 3/4. Okay.
Or is going to pay 3/4.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, in other words, if it's a short term,
right.
So the liability of the Baal HaBor is not changed. His liability is the same.
Right.
But the Baal HaShor is only tied to Chatzi Nezek.
Right.
So normally it would be a portion. If it was more, it'd be half and half. So his liability is only from half to begin with. So of the half that he would be liable for, now he's chayav 1/4, and the other one is going to be chayav the 3/4. Okay. The main idea to remember is that according to the chachamim, everything is on the Baal HaShor, and according to Rabbi Natan, we're going to apportion responsibility. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara now. Okay. So now, 10 lines from the bottom. So we said this halacha again. Rabbi Abba stated this halacha about the shlamim that of Hekdesh, or shlamim that gored another animal, and what the liability was. And so if it's a short time, we said that we're going to split it up. So the Gemara says, Alibidaman, with, now, Rabbi Abba is an Amora. So which shita is he going within the machlok that I just mentioned? Elibid Rabbanan, shita. So if it's within the Chachamim, in other words, reviewing the shlamim is like two animals. Reviewing the shlamim is like two animals, the basar and the emurim. And we're saying emurim are off the table and basar is on the table. That's what we're saying. So he says, "Eli b'drabanan shita ha'amri ki leka l'shtalimim mehai l'mashtalim mehai." The chamim seems very straightforward. Chamim say that only the Baal HaShor is chayiv. The Baal HaBor is not chayiv. So even though there's two potential liabilities, one is off the table and one is on the table. So here also. So the emurim are off the table and the bas is on the table. So then it's pashut that would be the halacha. I don't even remember how to teach me. Really, with Rabbi Natan, and if Rabbi Abba was working within the sheet of Rabbi Natan, who says we're going to apportion, responsibility or liability, ha'amar ki lek l'shtalim mehai mishtalim mehai. He says if you can't get from one, you're going to collect from the other. So he says. In other words, if I can't get from the Baal HaBor, I'm going to get from the Baal HaShor. If I can't get from the Baal HaShor, I'm going to get from Baal HaBor. I'm going to get, but either way, I'm going to get my, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get the compensation. But here, he's only collecting from the Basar and Nene Murm. It doesn't seem to fit in. So the Gemara says, let's go back. Okay. So, I have a korban shlamim. It's right. A shore. It gores another shore. The right. Shore is dead.
But we said stuff going on.
So we said we're only going to look at the basar. We're not going to look at the emurim.
Right.
So we said within which shita was Rabbi Abba saying his halacha. Now we have the machloket on Nun Gimel about joint several tortfeasors.
Two tortfeasors.
Right. Two.
But
here we're viewing it right now as two shvarim. You got the basar and the emurim. It's like two animals gored.
Two animals gored.
One. It's one animal, but it's like two animals. It's like the basar gored him and the emurim gored. Okay. So the Gemara says if he's working within the shita of the chachamim, so the chachamim say that only the Baal HaShor is. So it's pashut. Then that's straightforward. In other words, even though the shore is implicated, the Baal HaBor is implicated. I'm only going to look at the Baal HaShor. So here too, I have the basar, I have the emurim. I'm only going to look at the basar, showing. I don't need Rabbi Abba to teach me the halacha. And if I would say that he's working within the shita of Rabbi Natan, Rabbi Natan says, yeah, we're going to say that they're both liable, but here it's not working out that way. So we don't think he would be working. We don't think that Rabbi Abba's halacha is reconcilable with the shita with Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, there's going to have to be a full compensation for things. And that's not the way Rabbi Abba is saying it. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, it's 8 lines from the bottom, and then we got to get moving, okay? So he says, Ibaynim Rabbanan, Ibaynim Rabbanan. I'm sorry. It says, Ibaynim Rabbi Nathan, Ibaynim Rabbanan. Ibaynim Rabbanan, I could say that Rabbi Abba was working within the sheep of the Chachamim, who pin all the responsibility on the Baal HaShor. Hanimila betray Gufe. That's when I have, like you were saying, Michael, There's two separate, tortfeasors. In other words, I have the Baal HaShor and I have the boor. So I'm going to, as between both of them, I'm going to stick full responsibility on the Baal HaShor. Fine. He says, b'chad gufa, but where it's like one body, which the shor is like composed of one body, mati amarle, we call hechad deba'inan mishtalemna. So I would have thought that the Nizak could say to the Mazik, I'm entitled to full compensation from wherever I get it. In other words, in Achinami, the Chamim say, when one shor pushes one shor into the pit, so the Chamim say, I'm only going to look at the Baal HaShor. He's the wrongdoer. And the other guy is off the hook. But that's when you have two separate tortfeasors. This tortfeasor was more liable than the other tortfeasor. I'm putting the whole responsibility on the first tortfeasor. Here, I have one shor, Gordney. The shor, yes, it's got Glasser and Emurium, but I would think the Nizak could say, listen, I want my compensation, so give me the whole compensation from... I'm entitled to 100 zuz. That's what I would have thought. So Rabbi Abba teaches me not that way. Then four lines to the bottom, Iba name of Rabbi Natan. Or I could say that Rabbi Abba was working within the sheet of Rabbi Natan. Rabbi Natan says, I'm going to apportion responsibility. Hatam hu da amar le baal shor le baal abor. Over there, I'm going to apportion responsibility because the baal shor could say to the baal abor, which means the injured party would say to the baal abor. In other words, the person whose shor got killed in the boar, he said, amar le baal shor le baal abor. I found my shore dead in your pit. He says, so I do expect, contribution from you as well. I expect contribution from everybody because, he has responsibility, but it's like poor proportional responsibility. And you ended up killing. So I expect, you to make a contribution to the recovery. On the top line of Amud Beis, Aval Hacha, with the one shore that's comprised of the meat and the Emurim, Mimatzi Amar, Basar Azik, Emurim Loazik. Mm-hmm. Can the Nizak say that, in other words, can he say that the Basar is the only one that gored me and the Emurim didn't gore me? He's got to say everybody gored me. So the Emurim are off the hook. He says, so it could be that Rabbi Abba said his halach within Rabbi Natan. Let me just do to the two dots, and we'll pause and take questions. Okay, Amar Rava, Toda Sheizika, if a Korban Toda, and a Korban Toda is substantially similar to a Korban Shlamim, if a Korban Toda, except the Korban Toda has less time to eat it one night, one day.
A lot of bread,
right. So again, with a Korban Toda, so you bring 40 loaves, four different types of kalot, in other words, and then 10, 10, 10, 10, and then one of each group of 10 is given to the kohen, and the rest are eaten by the balin. So Amar Rava, Toda Shizika, if a korban toda injured somebody, gova mi b'sar rabin and gova mi lachma. So the injured party is entitled to collect from the basar of the korban toda, which would be like the shlamim, ve'eno gova mi lachma, but he can't collect from the breads. He says, Gemara says, Lechem Shita. That's obvious. The Lechem didn't gore him. The animal gored him. He says, Seifa Itzricha. You're right. That is obvious. But the halacha was his next halacha. Nizak Ochel Basar Umit Kapir may be Lechem. That the Nizak is entitled to eat the meat. In other words, the Korban Toda gored his animal. And now the Korban's going to be brought. So the Nizak is entitled to eat the meat. That's his meat because that's going to be the payment. He's going to eat it. He says, Nizak ochel basar, umit kapper may be lechem, but the one who is chayv to bring the korban toda still has to bring the lechamim to the base of Mikdash. So hanami pshita, that's also obvious. So the Gemara says, ma'u detema, kemin lechem echsher dezevachu. I would have thought lechem is the sine qua non of this korban. In other words, when I bring the korban, I got to bring the lechem. It says, lemele ad achle basar banai ti lechem. So let the person with this korban toda say, you're going to eat all the meat, and I should bring the lechem? So you bring the lechem. In other words, you're having the whole meal. You bring the lechem. In other words, right. So but the Gemara says, Kamash Balan, the lechem chiyuv debalim. He's teaching me, lechem is the chiyuv debalim, even though they're not going to eat the meat. Okay. So again, so the topic we got into is what's the halacha when the korban shlamin gore somebody? Not that the korban shlamin is being gored, but the gore is the korban shlamin. So we got into the idea that that if it's a short time, So I'm only going to be able to collect from the basar, not from the imurim. And then we had different results with that. And then with the korban todah, which is also like a type of korban shlamim. So again, the nizak's able to eat from the meat, but the lechem, that's on the chiyuv of the person who's bringing the korban. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far?
Tell me again at the end, how did they divide up? So
So,
the bread, there's bread and there's meat.
right. So the bread is off the table in terms of the food. Oh, you mean for regular korban torah or the
No,
minyan
I know the
nizikin?
regular part,
Yeah.
but how
So,
here for
meaning it
making
means like this. All right. Let's say I'll take. Let's say it's a lamb, but my lamb damaged. It caused injury to your animal. So, and let's say you're a chayav nizikin, but you're if it's a pure tam, you're limited from my animal. So the Gemara says fine. So you'll eat the basar. In other words, I'm bringing the korban todah.
I
You're
see.
the nizak. You'll come to dinner. You'll eat the meat because that's what you're recouping now. So the Gemara says, but you're not entitled to eat the lechem. So the Gemara says, it's obvious. What does the lechem have to do with the meat? So I would have thought that since the
It's a
lechem is a
package.
sign of Hanan for the things,
That's how you didn't get
so the
the
Baalim say, listen, I you're eating the meat, and you want me to bring the lechem? You bring the lechem. He says, no, that's a chiyuv of the korban. Okay, all right, I'm going to move on now. All right, now let's take a look. We're on line 8 in the Gemara. Okay, now the Mishnah again on Daf Tet said Nechasim Shein Shel B'nei Brit that in, so it's meaning if my shore damages your shore, so it has to be that it was Nechasim Shel B'nei Brit that it was like a Jewish owned shore that got injured. So he says Nechasim Shel B'nei Lemiutei Mai. What is it coming to exclude? If you're going to say, well, it means that my shore, injures or kills a non-Jewish owned shore, I'm off the hook. Hakatani la the common, but I learned later on in the Mishnah Daf Lamed Zayin, Shor Shel Yisrael Shel Gach Shor Shel Vei Kuchavim Patur. The Mishnah says Mefurash that if a Jewish owned shore toward a non-Jewish owned shore, so the Jew is off the hook. So Tana Bahadur Mefarish. So the Gemara says the Tana taught me briefly, and then he elaborates on it later on, but in Achinami, that's Pshat in our Mishnah. Right? Right. Now, later on, Blin Eder, when we get there, if it comes on a day when I do it, I want to go over this Yam Shlomo on that Mishnah. He talks about how, like the Gemara says, like a group of Romans came and they listened to what they were teaching the Shear,
You're very angry.
and then they I think they didn't translate that line. And there's a whole piece of the Yam Shlomo. He says, why didn't they lie and say a different thing? And he says, you're not allowed to falsify the Torah. So anyway, so let's see
Well,
back
no.
Lamed Zion. Okay, so Lamed Zion or Beis, then I think Lamed Chen and Aleph. Okay.
70 Septuaginta, is that where that went?
No,
Because
no.
they did love. Reishi Bara
No, 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 no,
Olam.
no, no, no. First, that's a different sugya, but they didn't lie. In other words, they translated the Torah in a way that would not be, in other words, they were afraid that the Goyim would misinterpret it. So they translated the Torah in a way that the Goyim would arrive at the truth. Here, the Gemara is saying that we're not going to say that the halakha is different. We're going to translate,
So it's you.
right. So in other words, so we don't have to translate it. We don't have to tell them. But if we are, we're going to say the others. Okay. Okay. So now, on the 10th line now, then we said it has to be nechasim hamiyuchadim. So up until now, we've been talking about, in other words, the tortfeasor shore gores different types of property. So it says it has to be nechasim hamiyuchadim. So we don't know what this means yet. Lemiyutei mai, Amar Yehuda lemiyalti ze omer shor chayizik ze omer shor chayizik. So here he's flipping it to say that nechasim yuchadim is going on the tortfeasor shore. So he's saying, let's say the nizak, his shore is injured by another shore. But he's not sure which shore did it. He doesn't know if it's Reuven's shore or Shimon's shore. So Reuven and Shimon each point the finger at each other. You did it. And the other one says, you did it. So he says, Amar b'Yehuda Zelmer Shor Chayizik, where Reuven says, your shore did it. Zelmer Shor Chay, the other one says, no, your shore did it. Meaning, so if I can't, so it has to be Nechasim Yuchadim. This is from the perspective of the Nizak. He has to be able to point with specificity to the animal that did it. Otherwise, he's not going to have any recovery. So the Gemara says that's nice, but Hatani l'kaman. But we learn later on Hayushnayim rotvim achar echad. If two animals were pursuing one animal, zomer shor chayizik, zomer shor chayizik, and again they get into each one is pointing the finger at the other one. Shneim paturim. So the Mishnah says beforeish that they're both off the hook. In other words, the same idea. In other words, two shvarim were pursuing, Reuben and Shimon Shor were pursuing Levi Shor. Levi Shor gets killed. And Reuben Shor says it's yours, it's Shimon Shor. And Shimon says it's Reuben Shor. So Shneim paturim, they're both paturim, unless Levi could prove which one did it. But the Gemara says Tani Bahadur Mafarish. So the Gemara says in Achinami, the Mishnah mentions it briefly here, and then it elaborates later on. So that you're saying the same thing. So the in Achinami. Okay, now, I mean, right. Now, I mean, the part that gets a little, you're saying the most of the Gemara will dry it, but it, sometimes, like we'll see later on, I think the Gemara has the idea of Mamon and Mutab Asafik. In other words, I know one of you is Chayev. I don't know which one of you is Chayev. So, well, that's what the Gemara is saying. But in other words, I know definitely one of you is Chayev. So it could be that between both of you, you're Chayev. I can't prove which one, but between both of you, it's Chayev. Anyway, but the Gemara says they're Patur. Okay, now, the Manita. Okay, so that's one shot in the Mishnah. But the only thing is, with that, the Chasim Yuchadim is going on the tortfeasor's animal, the Alpaternale we're doing on the victim's animal. But Manita Tan and the Bryce that we learn, Prat Lenichse Hefker. It comes to the different shot. The Chasim Yuchadim is excluding things that are Hefker. So we don't know yet what the case is. Heichidami. Elam of the Nagah Torah Didan, the Torah de Hefker. So if one of, in other words, let's say the victim's shor was Hefker. So he says, so Montavale, who's going to sue for damages? In Hefker, there's no plaintiff. El of the Nagah Torah de Hefker, the Torah Didan. So it must be a Hefker shor or one of our shvarim. So you're saying that it doesn't cut it. In other words, there's no recovery. Because it has to be Nechasim Yuchadim, an owned property, we'll have to say. In other words, the first shot, Nechasim Yuchadim, is owned by one person, clearly identified. Here, Nechasim Yuchadim, it has to be owned by someone, not an ownerless animal, Gordon. So that's what the Gemara says, Lazy Ovalati. Let him just grab the animal and take that in satisfaction of his debt. The Shekadim Bezachabo Acher. The Gemara says, the case is the Hefker Shor bought his animal, and he would have seized the Hefker Shor, but somebody seized it ahead of him. Or that's another pshat. Rabina Amar, Rabina says, "Lmiyuti nagafa karka chikdish, nagafa karka chivkir." Rabina says the case that the Mishnah is coming to exclude is where his animal gored somebody and caused damages, and then the person got into a generous mood, he's backlish to the base of Mikdash. Nagafa karka chivkir, or his animal was nogeach, and then he decides, "I'm afkir this animal." So he says, and we'll see, so in other words, so we're saying that it can't be recovery. Now we have to see, what if we get time, how then everybody's going to get off the hook. I'm going to might be mafkir it. So we'll see if we get time. So Tani Namihachi, so we learn a brisa that supports this. Now, this is going later on. So the first part of the brisa says that if a person... was makdish the animal, and then it killed somebody, then we're not going to execute the animal. In other words, if an animal kills a human, so hashur yisakel. So we're not, but if he's makdish it, we're not going to kill the animal. Yeter al kedam Rabbi Yehuda, even more Rabbi Yehuda said, afilu negafa karka hikdish, but even if the animal gored, and then the animal, the owner was makdish it, negafa karka hikdir, the animal gored, and then he was mafkir it, patur, that he, the previous Baal Hashur, is Patur. Shenemar, v'uav b'balav, emit ish, v'gomer o'isha. So, it was Shor Muad, the animals, the owners were warned, and then it killed somebody. So, it says Baalav twice in the Pasuk. V'uav b'balav, emit ish o'isha. This is Baal Habor Yishal. Baal, what is it? V'gam Baalav Yumat. So, it mentions Baalim twice. Ashtei mita v'amad abedin shavin. That the ownership has to be the same, we'll see, both at the time of execution and the time it comes to a din Torah. So if he's mafkir it before or not, somebody's shor killed somebody, and then the owner is makdish it or is mafkir it. And then, so the animal is not going to be executed. The animal won't be executed. So he says, "Shneimar v'ad b'balav b'midisho shav achtei mita b'amad b'din shavin ke'echad." That the time that it's executed and the time that it that it that Yeah. I didn't say right. He says shemitah, the time that it killed and the time that it came to court have to be the same. Ugamar din lo ba'inan. What about Gemar Din? Don't we do that also? Like the verdict, Hashri Sakel b'Gemar Din who detiv Ela Ema Shtei Mita b'Amarab Din u'Gemar Din Shavim Ke'echad. In other words, it has to be this, like the same owner from Mita Hamarab Din and Gemar Din. You have to be the same owner. So we think from there that the same Tana that holds that by executing the animal, he'll hold that if my animal, you know, killed another animal. And then Amakdish the animal, I'm also off the hook. Amakdir the animal, I'm also off the hook. Okay, we only have a few seconds. I'll do this quickly.
I always want to be Amakdish the animal.
Right, okay.
It's a loss anyhow, but you're
going to Okay. Listen, we only have a few seconds. Let's do it. Now, the Papulacha Rifta raised an important point. Anytime a Muad causes large damage and succeeds the worth of the ox, the owner will disown his ox and thereby circumvent his obligation to pay for damages, mealiyah, in excess of the worth of his ox. In answer, the Rebina postulates that the act of disowning the damaging ox is in and of itself considered an act of hezek, damage, since by doing so one deprives the damaged party of his right to collect his due full payment. He says, garmi. In other words, thus, if one deliberately declares the ox hefker with the intention of circumventing his obligation, he incurs an obligation to reimburse the nizak for the loss that he causes through his act of hefker. The Rebbein explains that the Gemara exempts a mazik who disowns his ox only if he did so unwittingly, unaware that his ox had caused damage, because one who indirectly causes a loss for shogeg is not held accountable. So if I didn't realize, it was my ox, unbeknownst to me, killed another ox. And then for some reason, I'm unaware of those facts, and I declare it hefker, then I'm off the hook. But if I, according to the Sefer, but if I know about it and then I'm after it, so then I'm liable from a different din. I'm liable from a different way. Okay, but let's go. We've got to go run quickly. We're running out of time. Okay, now, that's two dots. He says, Chutz mirashunam yuchedet l'mazik. We said that the person is always liable unless let's say your shore walks into my property, my shore kills it there, so then I'm off the hook. The Amarle Torcha Birshuti my body. Because the Mazik will say, what is your shore doing on my property? You got killed. What, had no business being here. And then the Mishnah says, Rishut Nizak by Mazik. If it's Rishut that's owned both by the Nizak and the Mazik. Now, it's not clear. There are three clauses in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, the first clause says, the Mishnah says, I'm going to be Chayiv unless. He says, "Chutz me rishutam yuched lamazik, rishutam nizak mamazik." Unless it's rishutam yuched lamazik, if it's my property, I'm not liable, and then rishutam nizak mamazik. So it sounds like if I read it that way, if it's both our properties, then I'm also off the hook. Or the other way, if I put the comma before then, rishutam nizak mamazik shehizicha mamazik let's shalem tashlumi nezik beit habaaretz. Or in other words, clause A is I'm off the hook. Clause C, I'm on the hook. And clause B, we don't know where that goes. Is clause B relating to clause A that I'm off the hook, or clause B I'm on the hook? In other words, if it's sure, if it's Rishut Anizak Vamazik, let's see back in the Gemara. It says Rishut Anizak Vamazik Amar of Chista Amar of Yimi Chatzir Shutvim Chayav Bo Alashen Vela Regel. So Rav Chista and Rav Yimi, if it's Chatzir Shutvim, I'm on the hook for Shein Veregel. I'm liable. He says Vahachi Kamar. That if it's Rishut Anizak Vamazik, I'm liable. He says, so in other words, the victim had a right to be there, and my ox, you know, ate his vegetable patch or, you know, broke his pottery. So I'm liable for that. Reb Laza Amar, Patur L'Shein Vela Regel. Laza says, no, the Mazik is Patur if it's a jointly owned property. V'Hachi Kamar, and this is what the Mishnah means. So if it's my property, I'm patur, and if it's a jointly owned property, I'm patur. That last clause is coming to teach me that I'm liable for Karen, you know, the one thing. So the Gemara says, Hanich l'Shmuel. Now, if you remember Shmuel in the first... What? What?
Sure.
When did damage happen? He said, that means Latuya Karen. That's nothing to do with what we were talking about before. It means I'm chayef for Karen if it's on your property. I'm chayef for Karen. All right. Actually, Karen is chayiv even in Rishus Rabim. So the Karen is chayiv everywhere. So, or not, maybe not by Rishus, but Karen would even be chayiv in Rishus Rabim. So he says here, she's a chavamazel to be Karen. So anich l'Shmuel. So Shmuel on Daf Beis learned that shor meant regel and mave meant chain. So he says, and here he's got the line. We mentioned this when we did the Mishnah on Daf Ted. I think that was that on Shabbos. He says that's an allusion to Karen. He says, El Rav, the Amar Tana Shor, Vakumi the Shor, but Rav learned Shor means everything. So Shane, Regal, and Karen, Chavamazik, Latuyi Mai. What is that line doing here? She's the Chavamazik, Latuyi Had Tan Rabbanan. So it's teaching me liability in the following case, and we must be patient with this case because we don't understand it, and we'll get it in the next 10 lines. But it's going to be that, if let's say there's a shoel, somebody borrows an animal, and the person gives the mashil is the one who lends it to him. So let's say the mashil's animal gores another animal of the shoel, and there's going to be a case that the mashil is going to be chayav for that damage. We'll see in a minute. He says, Latuya had tan rabbanan, and we don't understand this brice, we must be patient. Shehizi chavamazik, the brice is elaborating on the Mishnah. He says, Labi shomer chinava shol no sisachver socher, to include the case of the Arba Shomrim, Shezika Behema Bershutan, the Behema, we don't know whose Behema, caused injury in the Rishus. So Tam Mishalim Chatzi Nezek, Muan Mishalim Nezek Shalim. So it's Tam, so you have to pay Chatzi Nezek, it's Muan you pay Nezek Shalim. Nifrit Sabalaila, if its enclosure breaks out at night, Osher Pursu Listim, or bandits broke in, Yetztabi Zika, and the animal went out and injured, Patur. We don't understand the Bryce, must be patient. So Amamar, Shizik Chavamazik, what's the case? Ilema to aski toward the mashiel, toward the shoel, which is really going to be the maskada, but we're not going to get there yet. In other words, Reuven gave his shore to Reuven loaned his shore to Shimon. So Shimon has got Reuven's shore. So he says to aski toward the mashiel, toward the shoel. So he borrows Reuven's shore, and then Reuven's shore was in the custody of Shimon. Or Shimon's other shore and causes injury. Maybe that's the case that he's talking about. So Lemele, so how are you going to hold the Mashiel liable? Lemele, why can't the Mashiel Reuven say to Shimon, either Azik Baalma, Bait Lishlumiyat? If my shore gored somebody else's shore, you're on the hook for it. In other words, you borrowed my shore. So the shore goes out and do something, you're liable for it. Hashta Azkin the Torah Didach, Bain Lishlumay. Now that it gored your shore, I have to pay? I don't think so. So the Gemara says, Ella, so if that's not the Pshat and the Braisa, four lines in the bottom, Ella da Azke toward the shore, Ella toward the Mashiel. So then maybe it's Shimon's shore gored Reuven's shore. So Lemelei, Ilu Itzik Me'alma, Bait L'Shlumei Kule Torah. So why can't Reuven say to Shimon, if my shore got injured by anybody else's shore, you'd have to pay for everything. You're on the line for full liability. Now that your shore did it, you only chayav chatzi nezek. In other words, you borrowed my shore. You're on. The brisa says if it's tam, you're chayav chatzi nezek. But I think you should be chayav nezek shalim. So the Gemara says liolam daaski toward the mashal toward the shore. The Gemara says no. We're going back to the original shot. The brisa is telling about that Reuven's shore gored Shimon's shore. And Shimon is a shoel. Meaning, Shimon had a lawyer speak to him before he borrowed the shore. And he explicitly stipulated with Reuven that I'm responsible for any injuries to your shore, but I'm not responsible for any damage that your shore does while it's in my custody. So that being the case, you're liable for the damages. And that's what the Bryce is saying. So if and under those circumstances, Reuven shore, you know, does damage, so Reuven is liable for it. He says, Ihachi ema seifa. If that's the case, let's go to the seifa of the Braisa. It says, Nifritza balaila. If its enclosure was breached at night, in other words, where the shore is, and now we know it's Reuven's shore, Osha parts will listen, or bandits broke into the enclosure, Biasabi zika, and it went off somewhere, Reuven's shore did, and damaged somebody else's property, Patur. So here we're saying, that Shimon the Shomer is Patur, Habayom Chayav. So the implication would be that during the day, Shimon would be Chayav. Halo Kibalav Shimon Nizakav. But Shimon explicitly excluded any liability for the damages that the shor does. That's what we said. Hachi kamar. This is what the Brisa means. In other words, the second case is a whole new set of facts. But if he accepted Shmir Nezakav, he didn't have that exclusion, then Chayev, then he's Chayev in Ezekin. Nifrit Sabalaila, but if the enclosure was breached at night, in other words, through no fault of his own, through no fault of his own, somehow the thing broke at night. Osha Partu Listim or Bandas broke in, but yet's Tabi Ezekin, then it went out and damaged. He's Patur. Okay, now let me do a little bit and then that'll be it for tonight. All right, he's got more about. All right, here's an interesting story. We'll do the story and that'll be it. He says, we're talking about a shoel. In most religious communities in Israel, parents allow their children to tread the streets without fear. When parents need some things from a local grocery store, they sometimes send their 6-year-old with a list of items that must be purchased and some kind of wagon or even a baby carriage to transport the items home. A certain man required a vehicle to move some fairly heavy svarim when he spied a child pushing a wagon to a local grocery store. Perfect, he thought. He approached the child and requested to borrow the wagon for several minutes. Although the man was a comparative stranger, the child happily obliged, and the man moved the svarim and returned the wagon. Shortly afterwards, the child left the wagon on the street for just a moment, and a car destroyed it. So the wagon got thing. So who's liable for the loss of the wagon? When the parents heard that this man had borrowed it, they claimed that he was obligated to repay the damages since he returned it to the response. In other words, he became a shoel, and it's a shoel shlomi das, in other words, without knowledge. And now who's he giving it to? The 6-year-old. But so did you, the accused, hotly contested. When the question was put before Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita, he replied that the man who had borrowed the wagon was indeed guilty, but for a different reason. He had no right to borrow the wagon from the child, so he's a shoel shlomi dad and is likened to a thief. In other words, I'm borrowing without permission. Asking the 6-year-old means nothing. So I have a din of the thief. A thief is chayav an onsin. He says all damages are on him until he at least returns the wagon to its rightful owner. Then he's got to get the wagon back to the owner. If he had been a person who often borrowed things from the parents, or if the parents were known to be generous with their possessions, there would be room for doubt. But since they do not know him and would very likely have refused to lend him their wagon, he's responsible. Okay, that's it. Okay, I gotta let's wrap this up 1 second. 1 second, where am I going? All right, 1 second.